say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. We're pre-recording, as we often do. This is a Tuesday afternoon, September 29th. Mm-hmm. Hey, last night was that Monday night game, Doc.
Unbelievable.
Now, Sue, you're not a football fan.
Not at all, I'm sorry.
I can't believe it, a Buffalo native.
I know, I should be.
Should be.
Yeah, she should be.
Hey, did Aaron Rodgers put on a clinic or what?
It was a show. It was fun to watch. I mean, the way he kind of figured out what the defense was trying to do before they did it and picked them apart.
He's got a good arm for a little guy. You know,
he does have a good arm, yeah.
He's got a strong arm. You know, he's got good feet, too. He's faster than I thought he was.
Great at scrambling. I mean, he had maybe a half dozen plays that were fabulous. What was the final score? 30-something?
Yeah, something seven? Like that. Yeah,
something
I turned
like
it
that.
Off.
I do, too. I fall asleep.
I will tell you. I turned it off when it was 14-7, actually. But I will tell you, because he's not a big man. He's not a large guy. And when you see him being chased by these guys who are 330 pounds, I'm like, yikes. I hope he gets away from them.
That's for sure.
But he gets his share of hits, you know?
He does, and he keeps on going.
Yeah.
Didn't he break his collarbone? Was it last year or the year before?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Somebody else broke a collarbone. Tony Romo.
Tony Romo just did.
Yeah, he just broke his, and Brandon Weeden came in.
Yep.
And he did a good job in the first half, and it just fell apart in the second half. And
yeah.
The Falcons are 3-0.
Let's hope the second half Falcons keep showing up.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Not the first half. Second half Falcons.
Yeah, first half, I mean, they missed all those tackles.
I know.
It was rough. But I love Matt Ryan. I think he's one of the great quarterbacks in the league. You know. So, I want to ask you this, because we want to talk about managed care.
We're going to revisit managed care today.
All right. So I remember when President Obama was elected and they came out with the Affordable Care Act. It was really more in his second term than in his first.
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying to myself, look, I know how people in this situation act. It's going to cost people I'm looking at the three of us, in our strata. You know, economics. It's going to cost us more.
Yes.
We're going to get less.
Yes.
Okay, so what they're going to do is, you know, it's like sticking a square peg into a round hole or something. They're going to make it fit so that everybody can get, they get all the applause. So everybody's going to get dental care and everybody. Look, right. I want to see everybody get it too.
Yes.
But I just wondered, the first thing I said to myself was, how are they going to do this?
Well.
I don't want the quality to suffer.
You and me both. I can tell you what it did to me, to us in the office and me personally as well, but our healthcare plan was a good plan. It went through the roof. It went up 40% about 2 years ago once the Affordable Care Act started kicking in and the provisions that were required started kicking in. My terrific plan that I've liked a lot went up over 40%. Mm. So I had to switch plans, and this is a plan that is not quite as good. It has a higher deductible. It's a different company. It's a little more managed, if you will, in quotes. That's going to be what we're going to be talking about in much more detail, managed care and dentistry. But I got less for more.
So our dentists, I'm thinking of dentistry, you know, in particular. Are they going to need to, assuming they can? They have enough patients available to them. Are they going to have to see more people in order to make the same income?
Yes. Someone in a managed care environment definitely has to see more patients, which is exactly the topic of what I'd like to talk about today. We talked on previous shows about what makes our office different and unique, and we made a long list of special things that we do. Like, for instance, we put extra time aside for patients. That way we can deliver a level of care that's excellent. We can help people have great care, great experiences, and our appointments are on time. Well, if it's mandated that our fees are reduced, then guess what? We can't put extra time aside. So the appointments will be shorter, and patients will have to wait for appointments. And it all goes back to what I mentioned in a previous show called the value proposition, which is really defined about, it's defined as what we're about. It's what makes us what we are and why we're different than other offices. And the value proposition helped me write my mission statement. And I'm going to read that. Is that okay, Jeff?
Absolutely.
Great. My mission statement is as follows. We believe your periodontal care and implant therapy will be comprehensive and of the highest quality. It is our genuine goal for your experience to be gentle, pleasing, and exceptional. And if someone doesn't feel this the minute they walk into the office for every single visit, then I'm doing something wrong. What I decided to do is I decided to rewrite the mission statement if I was on a PPO list, if you will.
What would it sound like?
It would sound like this. It is our mission to provide dental treatment on a discounted and limited basis according to the contract. Hopefully, it will be safe and effective. Now, the thing that bothers me, and I've got to talk about it, is that people don't talk about this, that there is an obvious difference. And it really gets to me that people will go into a managed care environment and expect to get the same care. And they don't see what happens behind the scenes. Providers really don't talk about it. We're talking about stuff today that people don't talk about.
So does the average person, let me back up. I mean, my feeling was always that the average person out there, to them, a dentist is a dentist is a dentist.
Well,
that's a huge mistake, I think.
That's what the managed care companies try to do. They try to
get you a dentist.
Commoditize dentistry. They try to make us all the same. And the reality is we're not all the same, and we have different business models, different value propositions, and I just talked about ours. We talked this morning, we had a little meeting about a patient that was mistreated in a managed care environment. She needed a lot of treatment. She was 24, and she needed a lot of treatment to save some teeth in the front of her mouth. And she went to a managed care environment, and they said, oh, we'll just watch it. And one of my staff members who comes from a managed care environment and wasn't happy, which is why she's with me, she basically said it goes down to the same old thing. You either do nothing or it's overkill. The reason why it's do nothing or overkill, it's because they have to figure out a way to either do nothing on the things where they're not going to make money in, or do a lot of the things that they are. So it's not necessarily what the patient needs. The managed care organizations have morphed the playing field, and someone in that contract will either do nothing or overkill.
And by overkill, it's a lot of treatment, but ineffective. They have a dartboard. They throw darts at it. Well, we'll try this. Oh, okay, that's not working. Well, let's try this. Oh, okay, let's try this. And it's a series of darts of treatment that do not yield a result. And at the end of 2, 3, 4 years, the patient's frustrated. They finally see the appropriate provider, a periodontist, and we're right back to square one with diagnosing the correct treatment, but the patient's worse. Mm. There's more bone missing. There's more tissue missing. The prognosis is poor or guarded for the tooth. That's the reality. We see this every day.
And the patient is frustrated, rightfully so.
It's not a question.
I have an example here, Jeff.
No, please, go ahead.
This is an actual example. This was published in the ADA News. This is sent to every dentist that's a member of the American Dental Association. And this is an article about United Concordia, a managed care company. And they will begin denying claims for any periapical radiograph taken routinely on patients who do not have complaints or symptoms.
Isn't that absurd?
That is absolutely ridiculous.
Absurd.
Now, if you go on and read the article further, I'm not going to read it word for word, but what they say is if the dentist wants to get paid, they have to send a narrative along with the x-ray describing the signs and symptoms. Then it's up to the company to decide. Jeff, we're talking about a $25 x-ray.
You've got to send a narrative.
It's a narrative. It's up to the company.
That's going to cost us probably about $50 to $75 in someone's time.
To send a narrative.
To send the narrative
for a $25 x-ray. Then it's up to the company to decide whether they're going to pay for it or not. And if they decide that they're not going to pay for it, then the patient doesn't have to pay for it either. So what they've done is they put the burden on the shoulders of the dentist that are on the United Concordia PPO plan. That's what they've done. And I just got something else. This is hot off the press about two weeks.
The Sun Life article?
Yes. This is from the Georgia Dental Association, which is the Georgia grouping of the American Dental Association. And basically, I didn't even know this existed, but what companies can do is they can rent PPO lists to other companies. So if a dentist is on a Sun Life assurance company or Sun Life Assurance Company, actually, United Concordia has rented their PPO list to this other company. So dentists that have a contract with Sun Life won't even know that that clause pertains to them, and they may be responsible for the x-rays and not be reimbursed. And this is absurd to me. I want to tell you a story about Renee in a few minutes. Tell me if are we up against the break at all?
Yeah, we are actually. Why don't we take one?
Let's take the break, and then I really want to talk about Renee, because this is a real patient that we treated in the past week, and I want to share how her experience is completely different in my office than it would have been if I was under contract with one of these companies.
All right, you got it. We're going to talk about Renee.
Perfect. I'll remind you.
Just walk away, Renee. Yes. You won't see me follow you back home. Remember that song?
Yes, I do, actually.
That's good. You know who it was by? No, I'm a music guy.
No, you're the music guy.
You're too young. So.
And the sports trivia guy, too.
Yeah, well, what can I say? It's by The Left Bank.
Very good.
It's by The Left Bank.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, it was a great song.
Okay.
It's about the only thing they ever did, too. Probably. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. His office is located at 2045 Peachtree Road, did we say? Did we ever?
Mm-hmm.
Peachtree Road. Right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. And I got to say it, it's next door to the Darlington.
Our favorite place.
What's the population now? 6.3 something million? You said 6.323
million? 6.5 2 weeks ago. I didn't look today. I should have.
Wow.
There was traffic, so I didn't want to be distracted.
All right. Plenty of free parking at his office. He's an outstanding dentist. He's my dentist. Visit mygumdoc.com. Mygumdoc.com. And we'll be back with more of Open Wide in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide. Who came up with that? Didn't you see it somewhere? You saw it? Is this a little derivative here?
Actually, we kind of toyed around with about, a half a dozen or a dozen different show title choices. One was Bite on This.
Yeah, I like that.
But that kind of got ruled out,
Yeah. That could, the connotation? Could be a little derogatory, perhaps.
Connotation?
Yeah.
I kind of liked it. But,
yeah, me too.
But I think Sue and Amy, my wife.
I may go around saying it for a while now,
All right.
My wife calls it, wide open. She said, I heard wide open today.
Wide open.
Cool.
Well, we are wide open. We are wide open today on managed care.
Oh, man.
We're opening the doors wide on this one.
I've never been more wide open. I wanted to talk about Renee and Renee's experience. Renee has been a patient of ours. And I've talked about on our previous shows that my patients have my cell phone number.
I never heard of that.
It is not an answering service. They have a problem. They call me. Renee was in a terrible car accident Friday night. Thank God no one was seriously hurt. Her in-laws were driving. She was in the back seat. Her kids weren't with her. She was the only one in the back seat. She was wearing a seatbelt, and her body jerked forward. Someone was going 40 miles an hour, didn't stop at the light, and rear-ended the car.
Oh, my goodness.
Her body was thrown forward. Her face hit the seat in front of her, but the seatbelt held her waist back. She hit her teeth. And she called me 9 o'clock on Saturday. She was apologetic. As again, my patients have my cell phone number. Usually they keep it in their cell phone. If they have a problem, they call me. If I was on a managed care list, do you think they would have my cell phone number?
No.
No. So Renee called. She had some questions about her teeth felt uncomfortable. I gave her some advice over the weekend. We determined that it wasn't necessary to see her on an emergency basis, and it wasn't necessary for her to go to an emergency room. We determined that on the phone. I reassured her. I gave her suggestions, specifically ibuprofen, and that quieted things down to where she was comfortable all weekend. And I asked her to call first thing Monday morning, and I would see her on Monday. She called first thing Monday morning, and she was greeted by Abby, one of our front desk people, warm, friendly voice.
I know Abby.
We never have an answering service or an answering machine during our normal business day.
If I call, I get a human
You get a real person
being?
through lunch and Tuesdays and Fridays until 4.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a human being. We rotate through lunch so people get a human being. If I was on a managed care list, do you think I would have that?
No.
No. So Renee called first thing Monday morning. She got a real person, warm, friendly Abby, who gave her the same day 3 convenient choices during the day where we would help her. Now, if I was on a managed care list, do you think she would have 3 convenient choices the same day?
No, I don't. I know that I wouldn't.
No. So Renee chose 2 o'clock. She came in at 2 o'clock. She was seated promptly at 2:01. If I was on a managed care list, do you think she'd be seated within a minute?
No.
No. I took a panoramic x-ray, which surveyed her entire face, jaw bones, jaw TMJ. Joints, mm-hmm. and teeth, and surrounding structure, sinuses, everything was fine. I also thought because she had pain from her front teeth that she needed some periapical radiographs. We took 3 periapical radiographs. And just to make sure that the roots are fine in greater detail than a panoramic radiograph and that the ligaments were fine and there wasn't any sign of injury from this trauma. If I was on the contract with United Concordia, I would have had to send a narrative and someone in an office could have said very easily that the panoramic radiograph should have been adequate. And even though the periapical is a higher resolution, I may not have needed them. So I might not have gotten paid for the periapical radiographs. We decided that I did a little adjustment of her bite, and everything, thank God, is fine, and she'll probably get through this without any significant injury. However, there is an incidence of damage to the nerves of the front teeth when people are in car accidents or any accident, and it doesn't show up right away. It can show up 3 months later, 3 years later, 6 years later, a decade later.
So how do the insurance companies handle that?
Well, let me share that with you. I think the appropriate care for Renee, assuming that she becomes comfortable and the soreness in her upper lip goes away, which it seemed to start to do, she needs to see us in about 3 months to take some routine checkup, periapical x-rays, just to make sure that we're not picking up something that could be treated sooner rather than later. We treat something sooner, there's a better prognosis, a better outlook, a better outcome, and a more comfortable experience. If I was under contract with United Concordia, I would have had to write a narrative justifying that. And if, according to what I just read, if she didn't have pain or other symptoms, then they wouldn't have paid for it. So it would have been my responsibility. I would have borne the burden of taking those x-rays Wow. financially. Then, if I thought that she needed them a year later, which I think would be highly appropriate, we go through the same exercise, and I'd be responsible financially for taking those x-rays. No one else would pay for them. Do you think if I was under contract with this company, if I would take those routine x-rays on a regular basis, if I would never get reimbursed for them?
No.
No, of course not.
You wouldn't be able to afford to operate. You can't work that way.
Now, let me share something else with you. What we're looking for is there could be thickening of the ligament around the end of the root, which may indicate that Renee may, at some point in time, need some 1 or more root canals in these teeth. I hope not, but that's what we'd be looking for. If she does end up needing a root canal, and I pick it up early, hopefully, I will send her to a terrific endodontist. Guess what? The guy in town that I think does the best root canals is not on a list. So if I was on this list, I'd probably have to send her to someone on the list. And it may not necessarily be the guy that does the good root canal that has the great success rate and have patients come and tell come back to me and tell me they had a great experience. It's a cascade of effects. And the bottom line is Renee was treated beautifully, but it may not have been so if she was on a managed care list.
The endodontist.
I'm sorry, if she went to someone on a managed care list.
The other the endodontist that you like.
Yes.
Okay, and you know him and you know that he
yes.
does very good work.
Yes, his name is Jeff Pafford. He does fabulous work.
Excellent.
And I have patients brag about him from his parking lot.
Really?
After they see him. Yeah, he's great. I've seen him. Sue has seen mm-hmm. him. My father-in-law has seen him. I mean, he does
fantastic.
Terrific work.
I hope I never have to see him, but
if you know. Do, the one thing I like about him is not only does he technically good root canals, but he will pass on more root canals than he does, which is rare.
Yeah,
because he will examine someone if he doesn't think they really need a root canal, he won't do it.
Wow,
most other people in town would just do the root canal because that's how they get paid.
Why isn't he involved with a network?
He doesn't have to, because he's really good.
And is it a domino effect? I mean, once you start getting involved with the networks, you can't. It's almost like you can't get out of it now, because this is your business model at this point, how you're operating.
Well, it becomes the value proposition, and it becomes the way the staff is trained. It becomes the way you're trained. It's a whole cascade of effects. Now, I mentioned this once before on a show. One of the most common courses out there today is to help people convert their practice into a fee-for-service quality practice from more of a managed care practice. It's what every dentist wants to do that is involved with multiple plans. They want to withdraw from them as soon as they can.
Are they able to do it?
Yeah, some are. Some are, and some aren't.
Is it becoming easier to do that or harder? Or
I'm not sure. What do you think, Sue?
I've been so long since I worked in a managed care environment. I think it would definitely be challenging because the patients think they're getting the same thing in that environment. So if a dentist were wanting to get off the plan, probably half of his patients would walk out the door.
That's true.
So it's a challenge.
That's true.
He would go
With the managed care plan.
Correct.
It doesn't go with it. It doesn't stick with the quality dentist.
Correct.
But I think so much of it comes down to, and tell me if I'm wrong, the ignorance on the part of the patients.
Correct.
Because they think a dentist is a dentist.
Well, part of it is that they're being brainwashed from the managed care companies that we're all the same. We're commoditized.
Part of the brainwashing is the patient, when they see us for good quality care, then we submit their insurance. The insurance company writes the patient their check. But at the bottom of it, on their explanation paper, will be a little slap on the wrist. Did you know that if you chose a dentist in network, you might have saved blah, blah, blah amount? So they get these constant little statements from the insurance company that undermine our relationship with the patient.
So it's kind of almost subliminal.
It makes the patient think, why wouldn't I want to save money? But they don't understand there's no such thing as a discount in the service industry. Mm-hmm. It's not the same thing as buying an object on sale.
Commodity. You know, I still think it comes down to, and I think it's what you're saying, is it's still ignorance on the part of the patient. You know, if I needed to have my gallbladder taken out, I'm not going to go to somebody that the insurance company tells me is in their network. You know what I mean? This is a serious operation.
Ignorance,
especially at my age.
Or wishful thinking.
It's probably wishful thinking. I mean, truly.
I think it's wishful thinking.
I do, too. I think, you know, we're consumers. You know, we like to save if we can, but because we're also on the inside of healthcare, we do see the difference. And that's what we wanted to have our show be today, to help people think and realize that in the service industry, in our particular healthcare, dental, periodontal part of the industry, there's no such thing as a bargain. Mm. You get what you pay for.
And I did want to review two terms that are common on all of these explanation of benefit forms.
Yeah.
One is a PPO. It's Preferred Provider Organization. Do you know what it really is? The discount list.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing preferred about it other than the fact that they will give people a deep discount dictated by the contract.
The insurance company prefers.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes.
It's preference.
I always wondered, I may have asked you this last week, though. Did some dentists or doctors, either way, do they kind of make it up on the next patient who's not on one of these PPOs?
They have to make it up somewhere.
They got to make it up somewhere.
If a lot of these fee schedules are below cost, if they do the same thing as the other patients, they substitute labs that are less expensive.
Yeah.
They change their staff to staff that's less expensive. They may not take the continuing ed, the cutting edge continuing ed, necessary to stay as current, because that's expensive too.
They use more generic materials and supplies than some of our better name brand materials, like name brand well-known implants. They use generic implants that may not be around in 4 or 5 years and can't be serviced anymore.
Some of these folks do actually really try to provide a good service. And
yes.
some of these folks, I give them a lot of credit for.
Yes.
And some of them actually refer to us. When they have a patient that really wants the best perinatal care or the best implant, they'll actually refer those patients to us. There's one other term I want to talk about. That's UCR. It stands for usual and customary rate. You would think that that's some average. You would think that that's some set standard rate. What would you do if I told you that the term is used across the insurance industry and it could vary as much as 60% up and down, even within the same company?
That's customary?
Usual and customary rate.
With a 60% variation?
60%.
Yes.
If someone pays more for the insurance product, the UCR schedule, usual and customary rate, is higher. There's nothing usual and customary about it. It's just the contract.
All right. We have to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to ask you this, Sue and Dr. Edelstein, and that is, how much of this is the fault of the dentists? You know, are the dentists somehow contributing to this problem, or are they victims along with the general public? You know, we all kind of suffering because of this. That's what I'd like to ask you when
question.
We come back. All right, thank you. I thought it would be a good question.
It's a good question.
You've just confirmed
it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a good question? You both think it's
what
a good
question. What does the gum doc think?
We all think it's good. All right, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, office located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, folks. It's a periodontist and an outstanding one. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. Back with more in just a moment.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. You know, we were just joking before the break. I said, was that a good question? You said it was a good question.
It was a good question.
I think so. And I asked you, Dr. Edelstein, do you think it's a good question?
Let's hear the good question again, Jeff.
The other day.
Repeat your good question.
I don't remember what it was. It couldn't have been that good.
I do.
So I was leading my synagogue. This is the morning minion. And the rabbi asked if some of the guys can help move some chairs. So he says, well, depending on your personality type, you can either, you know, lift up chairs and move them, or you can take these little tags off the back of chairs, because they had people's names on the back of the chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, I think he said you can, there was a bunch of pamphlets in the back, and you can take those pamphlets, that's very easy, and just move them into the office. Just pick whichever one you want according to, you know, your personality type. And everybody kind of laughed, and I said, Rabbi, what personality type do you think I would do? He said, I don't know, just start doing something.
That's a clever question.
Yeah.
I'd be embarrassed to pick up the pamphlets after a question.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know what I did? Because I'm so insecure, I picked up the chairs.
You moved the chairs.
Absolutely, positively.
I'm not supposed. I would do the same thing.
I would have taken tags off the back.
I would have felt guilted into it.
What's my personality type? So here's a question I asked. You know, I'm trying to add some levity to what's a very serious.
Yes.
We've got a serious problem in this society, because, you know, we like to think that as society gets more advanced and better educated, you know, the care gets more advanced. But it's not really, that's not what's happening.
No.
It just seems like everything's getting dumbed down.
In this arena, I think it is. I absolutely do. As I mentioned, this model of commoditizing dentistry through managed care promotes doing nothing or overkill, not necessarily what the patients need.
So how culpable are the dentists in your view?
Well, in a previous show, we talked about them graduating $200,000-$400,000 in debt.
Truly?
Yes. That's it. That's a huge debt load because dental school is very expensive.
Mm-hmm. How do you get out from under that? I mean, it sounds like a 20-year proposition.
Yeah. It's a 20-year mortgage.
Just it's a mortgage right off the bat.
Just to pay for...
So now you're 45, 50 years old, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, some people do this just because, you know, it could be a ready opportunity for someone to generate some income at a dental school. So there is some financial incentive where I don't think they have the choice a lot of times. And some of them, really, their heart's in the right place. And I made the comment before, I don't think a lot of these folks are necessarily bad dentists. They're just put in a situation or a position where they can't do good dentistry because of the financial constraints based on them and the contractual constraints that they have.
How does a person, this is a little bit of an aside here, how does a person pick a good dentist? How do you know? How do we laymen know? If you were a layman, what would you suggest to a layman who says, you know something? I just moved to such and such town. I'm not even here in Atlanta. I just moved to such and such town. I'm going to need a dentist.
Read the reviews. I would start there. You're welcome to read ours. You're welcome
to read... have very good reviews.
Thank you.
I haven't written one yet, but I need to.
Yeah. You're welcome to read other people's reviews. Either the reviews are on our website, the testimonials, or our Google reviews.
Are reviews trustworthy?
I it's interesting that you said that because just before we left the office, I was curious and I read another practitioner's reviews and it was very interesting because they weren't that great. And I don't think he's such a great dentist. So enough people wrote reviews that actually felt the same way that I do from the inside and professionally. I think that would be a place to start.
Mm-hmm. So it's a great place to start.
But aren't there cases where, I think we've talked about this before, so people sometimes mistake, you know, somebody who's very gentle, let's say. Well, you're very gentle, and that's one of the things that you boast at your practice is that you're very
right.
gentle. But some people say, boy, what a great dentist she was. She
was so nice.
Oh, she put me to sleep. You know, I woke up. I had no idea what even happened. It was such a wonderful experience. Now, the truth of the matter may have been that her work may have been horrible.
That's quite true. I mean, that could be a true scenario.
That's not necessarily a good
indicator.
Good indicator. Asking a specialist, like ourselves or other.
I think asking a specialist is a great way.
Do people ask you
yes.
that a lot?
Yes, they do. And we get to see other people's work. So, and we get to work with other people. So we really have a chance to, from the inside, we get to know staff members that are in other offices. Mm-hmm. So a good resource might in fact be specialists, either periodontists or orthodontists, oral surgeons. I mentioned endodontists. That might be a good resource.
And I think a great way to ask that question is, who would you send your mom to?
Mm-hmm.
Who would you send your brother to? Because believe it or not, we have dentists around the city of Atlanta that don't send us their patients. But when their wife, their mother-in-law, their brother, their child needs treatment.
When it's really important to them. Really,
them
really,
to
really
us.
Important to them.
Yeah. And we're so honored to have the referral, but we sit and shake our heads like, wow, they want us to treat their family, but they don't send their patients.
Now, I think I know what the reason for that is. I think they're worried that their patient is going to want to use you from now on. They're going to lose their patient. They're not worried about that with their family because that's not going to happen. Well, it's their family. It's their loved ones. I mean, if your wife comes home and says, honey, I love you to death, but I got to tell you, I ain't coming to you anymore.
That's a problem.
I could tell you a little funny story. Amy and I bumped into someone, a dentist at a dental meeting. And he turned to his colleague in the same office and he said, oh, that's Bruce Edelstein. That's the guy I send my really tough cases to.
Wow.
He doesn't send the easy ones. Mm-hmm. He sends the really tough ones.
Wow. But that's quite an honor.
But wait, why not the easy ones?
Yeah, why not them? Yeah, why don't we have them?
We all like easy
pick
ones.
Pick up the pieces here.
We,
you know?
We all like easy ones. Well, why just the tough ones?
Yeah. Isn't that an honor, though, in a sense? It's like the Mayo Clinic.
It is.
You know, we're sending them to the best people who we think...
It is, but he should send the easy ones too.
Yeah, that would be nice.
You know, the easy ones may not be so easy.
Yeah.
Once you get started treating them.
You know, this is something too that, you know, and I've learned this from the show is that, you know, so people think that, they're the most, like say the cleaning of the teeth, the more common rudimentary things that need to be done, you know, to maintain good hygiene, should be done by, well, a general dentist who's good at that. And yet at the same time, everything that I'm learning here from this show, whether it's you or somebody else, Dr. Edelstein, is that, you know, a periodontist should be, maybe a periodontist should be looking at your teeth from the beginning. And maybe a periodontist's office should be cleaning your teeth. Because the gums, it just seems like this, some, what did I call it, ground zero?
It's, you know, the foundation.
We love the ground zero.
You like
it's
that?
It's
the foundation.
Yeah, I agree with you, but not to be self-serving, but because the stats support that. Periodontal disease is an epidemic. 60% of the adult population has some form of gum disease. Once you get to be 70 or older, 75-80% of that population has gum disease. So why wouldn't most adults want to be involved with a periodontist?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. I can't change the statistics.
You know, I know people.
I truly believe in that.
Yeah, I've known people who they get to a certain age, and maybe they're 50, 60 years of age, and they're referred by their GP to a cardiologist to do a workup on them. Because, well, you're 50, I want them to do a treadmill.
Yeah.
To do a treadmill test. I want them to. But I've known cases where that happens, and that cardiologist becomes, in a sense, their GP because they want. They want that cardiologist to keep his or her hand
is
in their situation, to be the
Using
quarterback.
Using the football
now.
Term, gentlemen.
To be the quarterback.
The cardiologist is the quarterback. I don't see any reason why a periodontist can't be the quarterback.
Mm.
I believe that. You know, Jeff, getting back to a question you asked earlier about how does a patient tell if they did pick a good dentist, I just thought about something, and I do think this is key. Does that periodontist have before and after pictures of their own cases? I think that's key. Not just textbook, not just a wish book, not just you could look like this, but do they have photographs that highlight and document long-term results of their cases? We do. We have a ton of them. We have an incredibly vast library.
Mm-hmm.
We do document our cases because we want to document the long-term success, but we want to share them with like situations. So I think that is a key thing to look for.
As well as other dentists in teaching situations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You do a lot of cosmetic work.
We do.
And before and after must be very important in a situation like that.
It is. And not just for documentation of cosmetic results, but bone grafting results. We have pictures of a different kind, x-rays, but we will frequently print those out and document that. We'll compare old x-rays with new x-rays. Hey, our bone regeneration is still holding up. Wow, we're 20 years into this. This is. Do they have cases or documentation that they can show you?
Mm.
I think that's important.
Do dentists like you, Dr. Edelstein, people who are at the top of their profession, whether it's periodontics, endodontics, pedodontics, people at the very top of the profession, are they really able to get compensated the way they should be and feel that they need to, and feel that they should be for the standards, the high standards that they have, the knowledge that they have? You know, you've said in the past, you know, you're an artist in a sense, you know, doing the cosmetic surgery and so forth, and the cosmetic dentistry, rather. Are they able to command the kind of money that they feel that they should be able to command, or does the market just not permit it, you know?
I think if in a free market environment, yes. In a free market environment, I'm competing on the basis of high quality. In a managed care environment, I'd say it would be much more difficult for someone to get feel good about what they do and be reimbursed compatible with the opportunity cost of dental school, of postgraduate school, if someone's a specialist. So yes, it depends on where they are. And I did managed care for a couple of years in the early 90s. I mentioned this on a previous show, and I couldn't do what I'm capable of doing. I was impaired by the constraints and the reimbursement schedules, and I could not, if I did, the same thing that I do now with all these special, wonderful things that I do and the way we give to patients and the mm-hmm. standard of care that we live by on a daily basis. If I did that to the managed care patients and that became any significant part of the practice, I'd be out of business.
You'd be out of business.
I'd be out of business.
How long did I have to wait for their money, by the way, when they work with these insurance companies?
It varies. It varies, but it's getting longer and longer, actually. They have loopholes where they'll ask for something silly. They'll ask for, you know, an x-ray for things that don't show up on x-rays.
You know, last week we read an article from an MD.
Yes.
In a small town in Colorado, mm-hmm. and that's what she wrote, was that she said, they do things to... Well, I think and don't they have people there? Didn't we say that earlier in the show? They have people there who kind of look over the case and almost try to find ways
to not pay on time.
To not pay.
You know, the saddest part of all,
I believe that
the insurance companies are protecting, we're fighting about $1,000 a year. It's not even a comprehensive amount. Even if it's a patient chooses to go to their managed care side, they're still only getting $1,000 or $1,500. There's a lot of effort being put forth and a lot of management into a tiny little measly $1,000 to $1,500 a year, which won't even pay for a single crown, a single root canal, a single gum graft. I mean,
and that's what they say.
Won't even touch an orthodontic case.
And that's what they say.
They're fighting over $1,000.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, I mean, that's very stark information. I want to ask you when we come back, Dr. Edelstein and Sue Skipper as well, what do you feel is the answer? What do we need to do to be able to right the ship? Okay. Was that a good question?
That's an even better question.
Was that a good question?
It's a good question.
Does it fit my personality type and everything?
Yeah. It does.
Okay.
It does.
And by the way, remember right the ship, because that's a good, isn't that a good phrase, like ground zero?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Visit mygumdoc.com, located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking, folks. Don't worry about that. And by the way, I have a lecture coming up. There's one October 8th and one November 12th, 6 p.m. Those are Thursday nights. 6 p.m. at Brio in the Peach Shopping Center about mm-hmm. dental implants. One of my favorite, one of my favorite subjects, but really one of my favorite restaurants in Brio.
Yeah.
Back with more of Open Wide with Sue and Dr. Edelstein in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. So what do we need to do? We only have a few minutes left, Dr.
Yes.
Edelstein. What do we need to do? Talked about the problems of managed care. They're pretty well known, some of these problems. What do we need to do to right the ship?
I think people just need to know that there's a difference. There is a difference between a managed care environment and a managed care dentist and a free market dentist who can choose the best treatments, someone who becomes treated like our patients are treated like my family members. And I recommend the best treatment and the best environment and help them have the best experience possible. And there is a difference. From the minute someone walks into my office, if they don't tell the difference, that I'm doing something wrong. And I think people need to know that this isn't a commodity. However, if you do all of your shopping at the Family Dollar, you get all of your haircuts at Supercuts, and you drive the least expensive car possible on the road, then maybe that's in a managed care environment would be good for that patient. Mm-hmm. But there is a value propositional difference between the two practices. And I think that people need to realize that.
Yeah, I agree. One thing that we're doing to help is our free implant seminars. You know, patients don't have to spend a dollar on their managed care or their non-managed care side of their insurance to come and hear about dental implants. So that is one thing that they can do. It's almost like a free consult to come and learn about implants.
October 8th and November 12th.
November 12th, yeah.
At Brio, great restaurant in the Peach Shopping Center at 6 p.m. Free admission, but you need to register, folks. Go to mygumdoc.com. Sorry, I almost said my dumb doc. My dumb gawk or something
you,
like
you
that.
You threatened that you might say that.
Mygumdoc.com. Dr. Edelstein, any parting shots here?
No, we just want people to help people understand that they can have the foods that they love and they could have the life they enjoy with dental implants. And that's what the program is about. No obligation, just help educate people and help them understand.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Dr. Edelstein's office is located at 2045 Peachtree Road in Buckhead, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking. Happens to be my dentist. I use you for, well, my gums, but also basically my general dentistry at this point. And I'm a work in progress, but I'm very happy with the results. Yeah. Folks, visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. And Sue and Dr. Edelstein, thanks so much.
Oh, our pleasure.
Absolutely.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, Tuesdays at noon on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.